the, I mean, the kind of conventional paper cloud formats, or do you want to direct this paper more towards our purpose, which is kind of the modeling part?
What we can do, for instance, is go through the paper sequentially, but if we want to diverge at some point and address issues related to our project, I think that's fine. And then we go back to the paper again. And I think that would make sense. The thing is, I have another meeting at 3 o'clock, so we just have about 15 minutes to go through it. So we'll have to go through it faster than usual.
Okay. Sure. So introduction is skipped, of course.
Yeah.
And background as well, I think.
Yeah. I think the list of questions that they raised were pretty reasonable and actually pretty good, I think. So we can go on to the general test, I guess. Start with that, maybe.
Section 4. Okay.
So, yeah, so should I go through it and then we can discuss maybe? So what I see, so the first experiment that they did was just basic tests or sequential and random reads and writes, I guess. And they did it for the three SSDs, low-end, medium, and high-end, and hard disk drive, right? And so if you look at figure one, that's where they summarize the findings. And basically, they saw that the disk always did really badly, like even in the sequential case. Sequential case, it did okay, but still worse than all the SSDs. Right? So which was in some sense surprising for me, that the disk did worse than the low-end SSD for sequential writes. That was surprising to me.
Sequential writes.
Yeah. Because if it's sequential writes, the low-end SSDs expect to still have degraded performance due to cleaning and such, right? But even with that additional overhead, it seems like this drive still did worse. But they're all about this. I mean, they're not too far away from each other. It's not like an order of magnitude difference.
I have a comment. Well, in fact, in this, for the sequential writes, comparing the low end and the medium SSD, it seems that the medium is, I mean,
it's
achieve
not
just less throughput in terms of the sequential writes. And I was thinking, I mean, as I was reading most of the experiments, the idea I got is that the low end SSD does not have the logging mechanism implementation. So if let's say we assume that that's the case, then we can say that the low end does not incur in this merge operation. It will just garbage collect, which means the it needs to erase the blocks, but it's not going to merge data because there's no logging in principle.
How do you know that it doesn't have logging?
I cannot. Well, that's an assumption. Right. That's an assumption. This is not a conclusion because at the very end, when I was reading, I think one of the last experiments, they say that
the fragmentation experiment.
I think it was the fragmentation, right? Where they say that the login overhead may be another explanation for the low end. But we'll get to that part.
Okay.
But I mean, before that experiment, my idea was that low end was always not implemented login mechanism, which kind of makes sense for the experiments after that last one. Because this is kind of surprising. I mean, that the long at the medium would have pretty much the same sequential write throughput.
Right. So the other issue I had with this experiment was it was not clear that you would get exactly the same performance when this SSD is in a different starting state. Okay, so the way I understand, they did these experiments by putting the SSD in a known state by writing sequentially through the entire flash, through the entire SSD, which means that there are probably a lot of clean blocks available. On the other hand, if there were not enough clean blocks, logging blocks available, then would the sequential and random performance look similar to what they have before? And what they say later on is that random write performance that they show here is not uniform. Now, for instance, if you look at this figure 1, second set of bars,
mm-hmm.
where random write performance for medium and high is close to 50 megabytes per second, they have that fragmentation experiment at the very end where they say that if the state of the SSD is such that there is a lot of fragmentation,
mm-hmm. then
your random write throughput is substantially less,
mm-hmm.
by more than an order of magnitude of what you see here, right? So that's important. I don't know how that affects sequential throughput, and probably it does. So I think in some sense, one of the important experiments that they have is the last one,
mm-hmm.
where they put this SSD in that fragmented state, and then they do the experiment. And similarly, if you look at the sequential write, the medium end SSD in figure 9,
mm-hmm.
the medium end SSD, sequential write performance is really low, right, which is the last set of bars, the second bar,
mm-hmm.
right? For the high end, it still maintains sequential write performance despite fragmentation. But for the random write performance, both medium and high end SSDs perform really poorly.
But it's also a matter of that apparently they... or most of the SSDs do cleaning in a lazy way, which is they do only cleaning when it's needed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably, and they say that that's because of the word leveling somehow. I don't know how that helps.
Where is that description?
Here.
Mm-hmm.
Says, meanwhile, considering the limited life cycle of massive flash memory, SSDM may take a lazy cleaning policy. Because the thing is that I was thinking that the firmware, right, in a normal situation, if you have idle time, then you do some cleaning, right? But it seems like here, they don't do that. It seems like they don't have space to write new incoming requests. And that's why they have this low, very low throughput.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like when they are writing in this fragmented case, they are also doing the cleaning at the same time.
But how does
for the low end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, for the medium.
No, for the medium. There is no low end.
But that also seems to be the case for the high end, because you see, for a fragmented and unfragmented case, for the high end, of random writes.
Oh, I see.
There is still a performance difference.
Yeah, and it's very big.
Yeah. So that's I think a very important thing for us to learn from, that whatever write performance you observe is dependent on the initial state of the device, right? And also, as you write more and more, the performance might change. Even the state of the device being exactly the same when you begin, if you write more data randomly, over time, your device is going to become fragmented and your performance can start changing. Right? So I think these sort of questions are not really addressed in the paper. That they do address the impact of fragmentation, but they do not address this question that, well, there is possibly performance can change over time, right? I don't think they address that question. So
yeah, as an experiment, no.
I don't think they have that, but maybe I'm wrong.
No.
So for instance, here if you look at Figure 1, they have a single number for the random write throughput, right? The question is, if you keep writing randomly, do you maintain that same throughput or not?
Mm-hmm.
So after 1 hour,
down.
You get the same throughput or it goes down. It's not clear. Even with a high-end SSD. Now, the other interesting thing is that for the high-end SSD, if you write sequentially, it's or randomly, it's about the same.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that?
There again?
For a high-end SSD, the sequential write and random write performance are not too different.
Right.
And if you look at the figure 3 and the CDF, right, if you look at SSBH CDF,
right,
so the for the sequential and
they look very similar.
They look very, well, there is some difference, but it's almost the same. And it seems like most of the random write latencies are less than 100 microseconds. And what that's telling me is that you're always hitting the write buffer, and that
right.
that's what they discuss here.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's actually 5.3. So the discussion 5.3 suggests that with high-end SSDs and even medium-end SSDs, you most of the time you hit the write buffer.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I was also comparing figure 2 and 3, and if you see the same figure, let's say 3B, right,
mm-hmm.
compared to 2B,
mm-hmm.
you see that writes are even better than reads.
That's true.
Which is that's great.
True. Yeah, because for reads, you have to go to medium.
Exactly.
For writes, you do not.
Exactly. So the only... Actually, the only workload in the read that is comparable to the write is the sequential read, which is prefetching,
yeah.
And they are mentioned, and they are saying that that prefetching, or because of that, when you read, you are reading from memory.
From memory, because you can prefetch in parallel from all the chips.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. So that's a really good observation. I mean, what that's telling us is you can get huge improvement in latency if you do sequential reads.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to random reads, because of the prefetching.
But that is true as long as you have prefetching and enough memory, right?
Enough buffer.
Read cache, exactly. Because I remember I did some experiments of random reads and sequential reads in the SanDisk,
mm-hmm.
and it was exactly the same,
yeah.
Which makes us it doesn't have a prefetching, and it makes sense because it's a low end.
But it would be interesting to do the same experiment with the memory, right? And see
yes,
what you get.
Exactly. Actually, I added to the list of experiments.
Yes. So that's certainly, I mean, so these guys do bring up a very important point. The importance of sequential access.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, the importance of sequential writes is probably addressed with figure 1 to some extent, right, but also qualified by figure 9, where you have sequential writes going on, but you still don't get good performance because the initial state of the device is fragmented.
Mm-hmm.
So what is important then is to always do sequential writes, because even if you move to random writes, and merge random writes with sequential writes, you probably end up with bad sequential writes performance because the device got fragmented due to the random writes. So I think there is certainly more that can be inferred and maybe even speculated based on these experiments. Okay, so I think we covered 5.2, right? And 5.3
perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And transfer, 5.3, yeah. Before continuing, so I have this question that was, and I think it's not answered here, is that how exactly does the mechanism of prefetching work? Because they said that there are a period of sequential access detection.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So one question I have here is how many requests do you need, or how many reads do you need in a sequential order,
mm-hmm.
to trigger the prefetching?
Right.
Right. Because I think that's an important metric in order to know, for instance, what would be the optimal read size. Right. If you're doing sequential.
Hmm. That's a good point. That's a very good point. My guess is that it would probably be maybe 2 or 3 IOs. If you see a sequential pattern of 2 or 3 IOs, right, consecutive to
right.
each other, that would be, I mean, that's how
disk drives used to operate before they had track buffers.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says that they found that the first four requests have high latency,
mm-hmm.
and after that it's just it's good latency.
Yeah, so maybe that's the answer to your question.
Yeah.
So, but you count the sequentiality in terms of the LBAs?
In terms of the LBAs.
All the time.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because most of the time they issue this 4K requests for reason by, so that is actually 8 sequential blocks.
8 sequential blocks, but it's only one I/O request.
Mm-hmm.
A sequential stream of requests is what they're looking for here.
Oh, okay.
Because prefetching is not going to help with the current I/O request, it's going to help with the subsequent I/O request. Now, whether the next I/O request is going to be sequential to the previous one can only be determined with confidence if you see a few I/O requests.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, makes sense.
So that's 5.3, and then 5.4 is about disk cache effectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Before going to 5.4, I also saw this 5.3 in the low end. In the sequential curve, right, in figure 3A, the sequential curve, it looks like similar to the 2A, right?
I'm sorry, which one is similar to what?
3A to 2A, sequential.
So you're comparing reads and writes?
Yeah.
Sequential read and sequential write.
Exactly. So if the low end doesn't have a buffer, right, how come?
I think they do say that the low end has a buffer.
16K buffer.
Yeah, they do have, low end does have a buffer, and they, I think, discuss it in 5.3.
Yeah, I think they mentioned that that's because of the
16 kilobytes.
Yeah, that's because of the register of the points, that they can do some kind of buffering.
That 16K, I think, is a buffer for writes, and it's located in the controller.
Right.
And may not be used for reads.
Yeah, and at some point they did talk about the fact that the read cache and the write buffer do not really communicate, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. They don't share
They don't share the same space because they wrote a certain block and then they read the same block where the read has a much higher latency.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. So that is, I think, in 5.5. Do reads and writes interfere?
I like that experiment, in fact. In that.
Okay, so you can talk about that.
You were saying that.
No,
3A.
Yeah, I was curious why if it has a small buffer, how come that they similar to the read?
No, which is similar to what again? I don't see any similarity.
The 2A.
Okay.
With 3A sequential.
3A sequential?
Right. Which is implying.
Yes.
They seem to be the same scale.
Oh, it's in 0.1.
Right.
And with the first one is 0.1 milliseconds, whereas the 2A, the 3A is 0.1 milliseconds. And 2A is 0.2 to 0.25 milliseconds.
Mm-hmm.
So they are somewhat different. And also with the low end, some of the sequential latencies are high, right? So you see the CDF,
mm-hmm.
it does not go all the way to 100. It does not step to 100, but after 90% it starts degrading,
mm-hmm.
right? So there are some of those latencies which are worse than average,
mm-hmm.
much worse than average. But we have some latencies which are also 1 millisecond, even for sequential write.
Okay.
But for sequential read, you're almost 100% of the requests are below 0.3 millisecond.
Mm-hmm.
So this actually, in the applications of they suggest that system integration section 6, they say that file system refetching is also useful for SSDs because of the good sequential read performance, or much better sequential read performance. So it could also be useful for the things that we are doing with hybrid memory.
Mm-hmm.
It does become important to address the frequency, and then address it really. And the difference in the latencies between sequential read and random read is actually pretty large, right? You look at the CDF
of what? Of 2A?
Of 2B and 2C.
Oh, 2B and 2C.
Right. So the gap between the sequential
yeah.
and random is large.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So it's at least 2x and probably, it's probably 3x latency difference between sequential and random.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
0.07. Milliseconds and 0.2 milliseconds.
Yeah. According to these graphs, the medium end and high end devices are not very different.
That's
you
true.
Know.
Yeah. I think the difference comes up in figure 9.
Yeah.
Right? With the sequential write.
Yeah, and also without the cache. Something.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the caching then, 5.4. So Lewis, you want to talk about this?
Sure. So the idea is that they did the same experiment with the cache on and the cache off. So I don't remember why they decided not to put the low end.
Because
they cannot turn off the cache. Yeah, so they cannot do it for it. For the medium end, they found that the cache actually affects a lot. And I think they did this only for writes, and well, actually, yeah, I don't, it's different, right? There is no way to turn off the read cache, which would be also.
Hey, you can, right?
With random, or how?
No, I mean, I believe you can turn off the read cache to force media access, FUA bit or something like that.
No, I think in fact what is most common is to turn off the write buffer.
Sure.
But the read cache is I haven't seen any device apart from a SCSI drive, so you can turn off the
SCSI drives, you can do that, but
yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, it turns out that the cache is really important and it's a big difference. And what was interesting for me, at least in 5A, the figure 5A, is that they said that when you have a cache off, you see that for all the workloads, the curve is exactly the same. And they said that this is because of logging, right? Logging inside the device, which is that it doesn't matter what workload you have, you will always have the same.
That's again, I mean, seems a little bit against our understanding of SSDs, right? So if you do random write workload, the cleaning efficiency is worse than if you
right.
do sequential write.
Yeah,
workload.
But also remember that they did only for 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So
So that's exactly the point. That if you do for a longer period of time, do you still get the same curve or you get a different curve?
Right. Yeah, I'm sure you will get a different curve.
We don't know because we don't know how these devices work. But I wish that they had done those experiments with a longer duration. Because right now it seems that the message that they are conveying is incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a complete message. And it may be misleading for people who are reading
and in interpreting it to say that, well, I'm always going to get this behavior, regardless of how long I. So I think maybe one of the new things that we can have in our paper is to address the time dimension, right? And how it actually affects the performance. With the same workload, longer period of time, performance is completely different. We show that. I think that's interesting. So what we can do is we can run a random write workload and take a for a certain period of time, let's say 10 seconds, take the throughput. Run it for 20 seconds, again take the throughput, right? Average throughput, and then 40 seconds, so 1 hour, and so on. Do we see the throughput staying exactly the same, or do we see it changing? Do we see it stabilizing after a while? What? So these are, I think, questions that these guys have not answered, but I think they are important questions. Because when you use SSDs, you are certainly interested in steady state performance. What happens is...
Yeah, because you don't use the SSD in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there was also another thing that was clear for me, and that was, if you see in the medium end, again in the 5A, there was this they have that 50% of the requests were at least or almost 1.4 milliseconds, right? 1.3 milliseconds.
Yeah.
Right. So, and they're sending 4K requests, right? So according to the table, they have the table one, the size of the page was 4K. But to write one page, you only need 900 microseconds.
Which
table
one is
that? The second page or the third page, right?
Yeah.
So there are 400 microseconds that are wasting something else.
So 900, which one are you looking at? Which column?
The column of the medium write latency.
That's 900 microseconds.
Right. And they're saying that 50% of the requests are 1.3 milliseconds.
Or more. Yeah, but that's with the...
That's without cache.
Without cache, so which means that you have to write the medium?
Exactly.
Till you get the cell.
But I was thinking...
But that cost...
You have 900 microseconds rather than 1.3 milliseconds?
No, but because you might have to wait for erase operations. Right?
But if you're having logging mechanism for such a short period of time, then you should probably don't have to wait for it.
There might be some erase operations that might be taking place. Right? We don't know.
Well, and the other thing is that they mentioned that they start fresh. I mean, they overwrite the whole device and start fresh. So a shooting pattern. Anyway, what's
up? No, that is an important observation. I think for more than 50% of requests suffer latencies of over 1.3 milliseconds.
Yeah.
So it's not clear that there is no cleaning going on. It seems from the latencies that there is cleaning going on.
Mm-hmm. Or I don't know if it's some more overhead, or probably in what they call, because they another thing is that they don't mention what they mean by write latency. The write latency from the POS, or the write latency to the media, or the write latency as well.
It's the latency, as I understand, of writing from the data register into the actual cell. Mm-hmm. the actual processes will change.
If that is true, then the value is too big, right? And 100 microseconds for one page, I see, is not very big.
M is the medium is MLC, I think.
Yeah, but even with MLC,
for the high end, the SLC is 250 microseconds,
mm-hmm.
which is what we have for the Samsung.
For the Samsung and MLS.
Which is Samsung.
Which is Samsung.
So the other ones are, almost triple the latency.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's because it's MLC.
Okay.
So, talking about extra overheads, we always have this serial byte transfer overhead, which you need to transfer the 4K.
From controller to chip.
Right. From
that was to talk about it from the controller to the register, which is on chip.
To the register, right. So, which is in the order of 100 or 150 microseconds.
Mm-hmm.
And they start counting the time since the device gets the data.
It is not clear what latencies they are referring to in table 1, because they are talking about SSD latency, right? SSD read latency and SSD write latency. It's not chip read latency or chip write latency. Because they're talking about specification data for the SSD, so not necessarily for the chips.
Mm-hmm. The thing is that it seems like the low end, in some sense, at least, I don't know what times are this, but for instance, the erasure latency and write latency are less than the medium.
Yeah. I think they call it medium purely based on price.
Oh.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah. Well.
And the write buffer.
Right, but it's obviously that has write buffer, and but it seems also more intelligent, right? Anyway.
Okay, so there are some lots of unanswered questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some inconsistencies there. Okay, so do read and write interfere with each other? Let's talk about that.
Right. So for this experiment, I think previous to that, everything was analyzed in kind of only read or only write, right? So, and then we see the type of performance we have, and in this case, they actually mix, right? And they generate four blocks, I think. They read first, and then they write the same page in some cases. So I think the interesting part over here is that the device that suffers most is the low end, because it does not have the cache. To start with, and that's when they mentioned that there might not be a shared place or shared buffer where they read and write, such that a read that follows a write can benefit from that and just respond to almost immediately.
Now that's a little bit scary also, because if you don't read from the buffered location, then you might read some stale data from the medium, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that part is sort of also, when I read that, it didn't make much sense to me that you would.
Yeah, what I thought was that probably they, but that, I mean, that doesn't make sense, is that first it flushes the data in the read cache before reading.
In the write cache, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. In the write cache before reading.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, I don't know.
It could be.
But, I would think that I don't see how difficult it is to make the intelligent thing to read from the right off, right?
And it just seems like a bug in the Congo.
Right.
That seems to be like kind of a strange.
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, the answer is that the read and write get greatly affected because of this mix of in the workload, right? So at the very end, I think they suggest that it would be better if we only submit read requests or write requests in isolation. I mean, and not in a mixed way.
But that's not practical. I mean, if you're just using the device for reads and not using it for writes, then
no, but I think what they mean is that if, let's say that you have an IS server,
mm-hmm.
and you have a bunch of reads and writes or all mixed, I think what they mean is that it's probably better to send first all the writes and then all the reads than something else. I think they don't mean to use the SSD only for reads,
yeah,
or use
yeah,
the SSD
no,
only
no,
for writes.
Yeah.
Right?
So I guess then they need to answer the question, what is a good batch size? Okay, how many reads should I send before sending the write?
Yeah, because you cannot...
Mm-hmm. You cannot expect to have a whole bunch of reads so that you send a large number of reads and then you send your write.
Mm-hmm.
At some point you have to send the write because everything is blocked on the write.
Mm-hmm.
There are no more reads that are going to be created. So...
That would be in fact an interesting experiment, I think, to answer that question.
Hmm.
In a random scenario, I mean, random workload, right? Because it's the motivation is that having only reads or only writes, you have more opportunities to kind of merge them and make them sequential, hopefully. But other than that, I mean, that because of this experiment reveals that there's interference between these two type of workloads, because there's sometimes there is a data register that's occupied by a previous write, and then the read has to flush that, and as a consequence, it will take longer time.
Yeah.
So, things like that, I mean, it's better to kind of isolate these two types of streams, right? And the question would be, I mean, how large this would be, and if the system would be able to afford that separation.
Yeah, exactly. And if such a separation is in fact important, then maybe it can be done inside the read buffer or write cache itself,
mm-hmm.
without having to require the OS to do it.
The scheduler to do it. Yeah. I think they mentioned that some schedulers would do that type of separation. I'm not sure if I read it here.
Could be in the fix.
I think it's in the very end, in the system implications, yeah. And the point where it says interactions between reads and writes, almost at the very end. Some existing IO scheduler in OS kernels already manage reads and writes separately, which would be effective for SSD.
Where is that in...
Section 6?
So, I think I have scheduler and in interaction between read and write.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But is that true? I don't remember any scheduler idea.
Yes, that's one.
So, how much is the performance hit because of the modernization, because of the interference?
Mm-hmm. Well, the baseline is, for example, figure 6A.
Mm-hmm.
The baseline is the read-only, right, which is pretty high, mm-hmm. the first curve. And the second best one, say, would be the squares, which is read, and then you write afterwards.
The same
everything way. Is sequential, so this I think is important, right? You read a block.
Mm-hmm.
And then sequentially, you do a write operation, and you read the next one. It's not well continuous if you want, because there's always a write in the middle between two reads. But there's a huge degradation already.
Even in the medium case.
Right, even in the medium case. And I think one of the explanations was because of this interleaved write, they were not able to detect the sequential pattern.
So what's happening here is that there is a background workload going on which is doing read and write, and then there is a foreground read workload or a foreground write workload. Is that what they done?
That is for workload 4. for workloads 1 to 3, there's only one stream of requests, reads and writes. It's kind of confusing at the beginning. It took me a while to figure out.
I'm just trying to figure out top row is what?
Top row is only latencies for reads. So you have a workload of reads and writes, right?
Oh, I see, okay.
These two graphs ideally should be superimposed, and you would see latencies for reads and writes, but it would result in like two crowded graphs. So that's the basic
data. They don't show the write of the SSPM and also DH, because they are exactly the same as
the reads.
I think they said that it's exactly the same as figure 3.
Or the previous graph.
Right. Figure 5 maybe? Or figure...
Maybe 3.
Figure 3.
B and C.
Yeah, exactly.
So why are there 4 SSDL graphs?
4. In 5-3.
A, B, E, and F.
Oh, in figure 6?
Mm-hmm.
Because the...
Where's your question then?
There are 4 SSDL graphs in figure 6.
Oh, because... For IM and BUM, they don't show the results because it's exactly as figure 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for SSDL, they show 2 extra graphs, which are the right for SSDL, right? That's all you have, or
the there bottom, could be one for read and one for write.
Yeah, the bottom pair of read and write is because it has a 10 millisecond interval between read and write. Which seems to be, seems to enhance, in fact, for the case of reads. Right, you see the curve of squares, it levels out to the baseline.
Yeah, this is
in a way similar to the experiment of introducing times of delays between write operations.
Yeah, so I guess what they're saying is that the write operations do not make much difference.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the case of read n plus write n plus 1. Read n and write n plus 1. That is the only graph that looks different. In figure 6a and 6e, the squares.
Oh, yeah, that's the one that improves the best.
That improves the best because of the delays.
Right.
How would that be?
That would mean that during that interval, if there was any background operation interfering, then that already happened, and then the next read is not going to be affected.
But this is, okay. But there is a gap between the read and the write, or gap between, okay, read, write.
It's basically a sequential stream, mm-hmm. which is doing read, write.
Right. Except for workload 4, which contains 2 streams. One is sequential read, and the other one is sequential write, but it's 4 megabytes apart from the read stream.
Yeah, I still do not understand the motivation of doing this. It's a bit awkward. What do we get from these? Except for the fact that the low-end SSDs are the weird read buffer and write cache.
Well, the reason why I like this experiment more than the others is that the others are, more controlled because they are oriented to kind of profiling even the response time. But this is what you would expect like more in the real world, a mixed workload. And what this experiment is basically telling you is that the read will depend on what happened before, especially if it was a write.
Mm.
And in combination of the other components, right?
Mm.
Whether there's a cache, there's a prepage, and that type of thing. So, and because of this experiment, My thought was that the modeling part is even more complex than even we thought, perhaps, because we don't all, not only need to consider the current state, but also the operations that happen just immediately, just before our read or our write, in order to kind of have a better approximation of the response time.
That's a good point.
And in most of the cases, I think it's the challenge is in the low-end type of devices. The orders, well, medium and high, most of the time behave, I mean, almost consistently. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's kind of most of them implement the same optimizations, per se.
Yeah.
And then there's no many variables that we should take care of somehow.
That's a good point, yeah, I agree.
So, I think the February, I mean, in the second row, they introduced this 10 millisecond delay, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, if you introduce that 10 millisecond delay, why is the graph so bad, or is still so bad?
For reach, you have an improvement.
For reach, you have an improvement, only one, but there are three of them that are still really bad, or two of them are still bad. Right?
Yeah, which is the X and the circle.
Mm-hmm. The circle and the triangle.
The triangle, yeah. The last, every order except the square.
Actually, it's the square and the plus.
The plus, I think,
because it's the normal operation.
Plus is the same as before.
Right.
The only thing that changed is the squares.
The squares. So, but why is that? I mean, you should be in 10 milliseconds. You should be able to resolve the last request, right?
So the squares are the ones that.
Because I'm thinking that the why this happened is because while you are doing you're doing one operation, let's say write, and then you start a read, but it turns out that the write is not finished yet,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's why the read is delayed,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's also explained why they say that the writes are less affected that reads, and it's because you can, while you're doing a read, you're done with the read and you take a write that right away. You can take a write without any problem. But when you receive a write, you're still working the write, although you said that it's done, right? And then you get a read again, and now it's that read. You have some interference with that read. So what I'm thinking is that if you have 10 milliseconds delay between those requests, you should be able to resolve the last write, let's say, right, before getting this read, before solving this read, which means that you shouldn't have any interference. Right?
That's so what they find in. Comparing between 6C and 6G, right? So I think we need to stop now, but we can possibly continue next time we meet.
Sure.
Maybe next Thursday. Yeah.
Or Monday.
Monday we can talk about the profiling work, and Thursday maybe we can talk about the paper, or whatever you prefer. If you want to talk about the paper on Monday, that's fine. Louis, you can decide.
Okay.